Hello?
Hello.
Hello. I'm so sorry.
Mom?
So sorry. Everybody's dead. It's my fault. I'm so sorry. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Clarissa.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
I'm
I think
tired.
You need to talk a lot louder than you are.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome to the Devolution Podcast, episode 37, the Blair Witch Trilogy.
We finally are here.
We're finally here. It's taken us a minute. This episode is coming at you a little late. I got my dose of the Bill Gates microchip jizz the other day, and, you know.
Yeah, gave you time.
Kind of fucked me up for a day or two there, and then, you know, there's also life and work and kid and shit.
Things happen, for sure.
Yeah, man. So, you know, there's also nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol. Cocaine! We'll get to that later.
Get a little bit ahead of yourself here.
Nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and
what?
Alcohol. It's a new thing we're trying out on the streets. Alcohol. We have a fun-ass episode tonight. We got good tunes. We got real good tunes tonight. You just fucking wait, misters and missuses. And
everything in between.
People with all of the parts or no parts, whatever parts you got, have fun. Have a good time listening to this episode. We'll be breaking down one of the most successful independent films ever. It's two sequels. We're, of course, talking about the Blair Witch Trilogy, consisting of the movies The Blair Witch Project, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2, and Blair Witch. Ooh.
Which 1 and 3 kind of feel like, it's like they just kind of were like, we're just going to work around the second one.
Yeah, they kind of just cut part
2
out.
They like connect those two, but.
Yeah, but it's got some elements of the second one in there.
A little leap over.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you we had a sponsor for this episode.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It's a pizza place out of New Bedford. It's a Felatio's Pizzeria. Yeah. My man Vic Felatio, he sent me a bunch of coupons, and y'all know that I'm an extreme couponer. So yeah, I think it was Victor Felatio. Yeah, it's an Italian joint out there, pizza place. He sent me some notes. It was handwritten, and he sent me some recipes, too. It might have been for crack. Marijuana, cocaine. So these were his notes. They're written in Italian. I had to translate them through Google Translate to find out what the fuck they said. So we're going to read Vic's notes here. He said, hello, Devolution Podman fans. Please come visit Felatio's Pizzeria. You'll be hard for calzone. Slide one of our giant slices down your throat and tell him Vic sent you. Hasta la vista. None of this makes sense, Vic. That's Felatio's Pizzeria, located in the Immature Plaza right next to the Cunning Linguist Cafe. That must be where the poets hang out.
How long did it take you to come up with this?
Oh, I've been working on this all week. This is why the episode's late. I didn't even get a shot. What shot? I was working on this solid gold.
They have mushed your brain.
No, Vic Felatio sent me those notes. I wanted to make sure we gave him a shout-out. He gave us a lot of gift certificates. So we'll go use those. Anyway, that Cunning Linguist Cafe sounds like a yummy place. We'll go down there.
Just leaving.
We'll go down.
I'm leaving.
We'll go down there.
I'm leaving. Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, like I said, we got a fun ass episode. So, where should we begin?
At the beginning.
Perhaps. Shall we?
The best place to start.
Yeah.
Is the start.
That's the start. The Blair Witch Project, 1999. This film follows three young filmmakers as they venture into the woods of Burkittsville, Maryland, to investigate the local legend known as the Blair Witch. Ooh, witchy woman. Ah, enough of the Eagles. All right. Canceling the Eagles. They canceled. You canceled. Starring Heather Donahue, Michael C. Williams, and Joshua Leonard, written and directed by Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez. The movie was shot on a tiny budget of about $60,000 and it is credited with bringing the found footage subgenre to new levels, and in some ways it changed the course of horror forever. Forever, ever? Oh, Lord. A lot of the charm of this flick is the real feels that it puts off. And that's because it was pretty real.
Yeah, this...
For, you know, not... You know, for what... It's a work of fiction. But the way it was filmed was really interesting. And we'll get into that a little bit right now.
Yeah, this part I didn't know until we were watching that thing the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Yeah. This is really cool.
So the writers prepared a 35-page outline for the movie, and but most of the dialogue was improvised. So the actors, they were actually out, like, camping in the woods for most of this shoot.
And they were probably cold and tired and frustrated.
Yeah.
Just like humans.
And they had all the film gear, so they're filming the movie, they're doing all this. And meanwhile, the film crew, you know, the writers and, you know, a couple of producers and whatnot, they were had another camp just kind of, like, off from the camp that the actors were set up in. And the actors would wake up to, like, tubes with their names on them that had notes for them for the day. Just kind of about what situations were going to unfold and how they would react to them. And each actor had different notes, so nobody knew exactly how anyone else was going to react or anything
like
that.
It's such a really, really cool way to make a movie. And it does help, like, give it, more like you're stuck in the woods, you're scared, like, feel.
Yeah, it does.
Because they are, like, playing off each other more in, like, a natural way.
Yeah. It's really cool. It must have been a really fun, like, exercise as an actor. Or the
I'm
actress,
sure
you know,
it was,
Heather, yeah.
It was probably very hard.
Yeah. Speaking of hard, make sure to check out Fellagio's Pizzeria.
That's what I'm really leaving.
She's gone. Guys, all right. So I'm talking about the rest of this by myself now. So this approach to making the film lends to the realistic feeling. The premise of the film played heavily into the marketing as well. Taking place in 1994, the three students head into the woods, and a year later, their footage is found. Air quotes.
Now, this really was like the start of the found footage, right?
Wasn't necessarily the start,
or like the blood, like the explosion of.
Yes.
Like it really, yeah. Like.
There were definitely. Blew it I'm up. Trying to think. There was a Cannibal Holocaust, I believe, is a found footage movie. Then there's. You know, there were several over the time, but this was the first one to really, like, be
like,
a
throw it
box
into the,
office
like,
smash.
Stream, yeah.
And then, you know, a lot followed, which we'll get into. Yeah, so they made a website, and this was one of the first movies to really utilize the internet as a marketing tool, and you're a marketing tool, and so... You were supposed to say that. You should have said
I wouldn't have really had a chance. You kind of just didn't really
just
breathe.
Say, anytime, tool, you got to respond like that. I'll teach you the ways of the committee. Fellagio's Pizzeria.
I don't want to. No, thank you.
Yes. So, the marketing tool was the internet. And they built a website that had the three actors, because the actors, it's their real names in the movie. So it has them on this website as, like, missing people. And they built up the hype for the movie for a year before.
They really tried to confuse people.
They wanted...
Like a ton.
Yeah, they wanted people to think that it was a real movie that they were going to,
like,
watch.
Like, question.
Yeah. And, and the stars of the movie were, you know, unknown actors, so nobody knew who the
well,
fuck these people were.
Well, wasn't it in, like, a film? Wasn't it in the film festival first?
It was. And it premiered at Sundance during a midnight showing.
Ooh.
And beforehand, like the day that it premiered, the producers put, like, missing posters for the kids all over town and all around the festival.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And so even people coming out of the premiere were like, what the fuck?
I feel like it was probably really fun to do this kind of thing. You get to, like, mess with people a little. You're in, like, the early days of the internet. Like,
yep. And then by the summer, the movie was released, you know, nationwide and worldwide, and there was a lot of confusion. People thought that it was a real movie, because it was marketed as a real movie. Like, that it was a documentary,
well,
found
it's
footage.
In that way.
Yeah. And some people were mad when they found out it wasn't fake, because the actors started appearing on, like, talk shows and stuff, because this was the most popular movie in the world, you know, at the time. And what? That's fucking sick. I wouldn't want to watch this movie if I knew it was real.
Yeah.
I like it because it's fake. Well, that's why I like horror movies, because it's fake.
It's the kind of thing that you would watch as, like, a documentary in your own home, but not go, like, to the movie theater and, yeah, like, yeah, have this huge, like, I don't know, huge profit off of, like, somebody's crazy weird tragedy, you know?
So let's break down the plot a little bit here. Heather, Mike, and Josh head to Burkittsville to interview some locals about the various rumors, myths, and legends connected to the lore of the Blair Witch. These stories include the tale of Rustin Parr killing 7 kids in his basement. He would bring them in 2 at a time, make one stand in the corner looking at the wall while he killed the other. A story of a girl gone missing in the woods when she disappeared into the river, right?
Yeah, it was like, witness said that a hand pulled her in and she was never found.
And then that creepy ass old lady talks about seeing the witch and says she was covered in horse hair.
And there's the hunting
or
the
lady is scaring
us. The search party for the girl found at the rock.
Oh yeah.
All like gutted.
Gutted.
I couldn't think of the word.
The crew then head to the woods to search for Coffin Rock, the site of a bizarre massacre, and some other spooky shit. They get lost and beginning real pissy pants with each other. They start getting hungry and frustrated, and they even at one point spend a day walking in the same direction according to the compass the entire day, but somehow walk a circle.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's fucking, it's weird.
Spooky.
It is spooky, you know? It's fucking weird. I'd be a little pissed if that happened to me. All the while, they're being fucked with at night by an unseen menace. Their tents are getting shook. There's loud noises in the woods.
It's like children sounds.
Yeah, children giggling and screaming and
like
crying.
Screaming
and,
baby.
Oh, boy. They wake up to piles of rocks and the infamous stick man figures all around their tents. You know, it puts them on edge.
As it would any of us.
They're having a bad time.
This is why I don't go camping.
They're into edging, apparently. I love camping.
I am not a camper.
But I do always, you know, this movie stuck with me since I watched it the first time. I'm like, oh, anytime I'm in the woods, like, I feel like this movie crosses my mind a little bit.
Well, yeah, because you can, like, put yourself into that scenario, and you're like, yeah. I feel there's something about tents that make me feel so vulnerable, because there's not a lot of space between, you know, you and the world.
No.
And as we've discussed, I lock my doors and windows.
Yeah.
And check them 100 times. I very much rely on feeling, like, safe when I'm asleep.
Yeah.
So there's something, like, the tent, just, I can't, I can do, like, RV camping.
Well, yeah.
I can do cabin camping.
Ooh.
I can't do tent camping.
After a few nights of this, tomfoolery, Josh goes missing. Ooh. Now Mike and Heather are in full fucking panic mode. A package of teeth shows up outside of the tent one morning. And
some hair.
Yeah, there's some hair and some
shirt.
Little gums that's wrapped up in Josh's shirt.
The part where she's like washing her hands off all like frantically is feels so real. Like,
yeah.
The way that she acts that,
yes,
is like how a person would be dealing in that scenario. And you've just like picked up your friend, like a package with your friend's shirt, and it's like teeth and blood and hair, and like you would just not know what to do. Feel so scared.
Yeah.
Start to implode a little.
That night they're chased away from their camp, you know, by who knows what. They don't know. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? That's when we get the classic scene of Heather crying into the camera. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
That was made fun of.
I'm so sorry.
Parodied made over fun and
of,
over.
The whole movie was made fun of and parodied a bunch. There's like a whole bunch of versions. The Bear Wench Project and the one with Pauly Shore. There's the Hip Hop Witch. Snoop Dogg in that one.
Hip Hop.
Oh, yeah, man. So anyway, they're in the house, they're running around, they're screaming for Josh and each other. It's basically just like 10 minutes of three people screaming, or two people screaming three people's names.
And just like, camera going
shaky,
nuts.
Shaking. They're shaking up in there.
But, and they were not told about the house.
No, yeah, they didn't know the house was there. They were kind of given, explain, like, the path they should take and film and to be acting scared and stuff, and they come across the house and...
And it's, like, a genuine reaction to the things they say.
Yeah, you hear Mike be like, holy shit, it's a house! That's what he thought as an actor when he came across the fucking house.
They did not know there was going to be a house.
Yeah, and then I think at that part there was, like, walkie-talkies telling him. It was like, go up the stairs. Go down the stairs.
Did they say they had, like, a tape recorder?
Oh, a tape recorder. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they followed the noise.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So they didn't know, like, what the heck was happening.
So, yes, the shaky cameras, people screaming, but it's really cool. Yeah. It's like, suspenseful, you know?
And it's standing, like, the test of time.
It
like,
is. I've rewatched it, actually, several times over the past couple years. And
it never loses It never loses its, like... thing.
No, like you never loses the thing.
Like, you still feel the same way when you watched it the first time. Like, you feel trapped, you feel stressed for them.
Yeah.
Even though you know what happens, and...
Yeah. And it concludes with the ominous scene of Mike standing in the corner and Heather's camera being thrown to the ground. Or does she fall to the ground? We don't know.
No one knows.
Dun, dun, dun. And that's Blair Witch Project, man.
Yeah, very simple.
It is a very simple movie, but it's very fun to watch. It's even short. It's like 88 minutes. It's short on the movie side, you know?
Sometimes less really is more.
Yeah, there was over 20 hours filmed. Oh, they whittled it down to just 88 minutes, you know? That's crazy. Kept the fucking good bits, you know? Kept it moving.
As I said before, my grandmother took me and two of my cousins.
That's right.
To see this. She did not see it. She went shopping.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She just dropped us off, peaced out, went shopped, we watched it, and then she came and got us.
Yeah, so, speaking of the parodies and whatnot, I actually, one point, had a treatment worked out for a flick called The Ossipee Bitch Project that I never filmed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I say, yo, let's get the fucking Kickstarter going. Let's get that going for that bitch. I'll make The Ossipee Bitch Project fucking reboot. Reboot a movie that's never been made. It'll be great.
Sometimes I feel like it's just like the day in the life at Hannaford.
Yeah, it'd be real easy
to
make.
You just need to set up a camera and just walk around that store.
Imagine the people I could talk to for like the beginning scene where they talk to the locals and be like, have you heard of Martha Eldridge in the woods with her three kids and the Brunkle? And oh my.
You would just have to ask your mom to gather her friends.
Yeah.
And just record them talking.
Hey, Mom, we're going to have a barbecue and film a horror movie at the same time, and all anyone has to do just is show up.
Act natural.
We'll fix it in the booth. Yeah, so, throw us some money if you want to see me make that movie. I probably only need, like, if they made Blair Witch Project for $60,000, give me $2,000, I'll make you a movie.
We discussed this. We came to the conclusion that we could make a movie if we had $60,000.
Yo, guys, you guys want to see Devolution? See Devolution movies? And then a podcast can talk about my movies.
I want to see those movies.
Yeah.
Talking about Trout since...
Trout!
Always.
We got Trout 1. We got Trout 2, Bass. We got Trout 3, D, Salmon. We did this on the last episode.
Yeah, we...
We got Trout 44. Trout 45. That's the name of... Trout 44 is Trout 45.
Genius.
It's a complicated timeline, but you'll figure it out. You got to give me the money to make the movies. First, we'll make the Ossipee Bitch Project, because that'll be a little more low budget. We won't have to
You can just make that on your cell phone.
Yeah, true. I might. Actually, I have the review that I made. I made a really cool movie review for Blair Witch Project back in October of last year, but I never put it out because in part of it, I wasn't wearing my sunglasses.
I still can't believe you did that. such a diva.
I put a bunch of work into this thing and, like, filmed it. I'm running around in the woods and I was in a tent and all
did
this stuff.
Did you, like, fall over stuff or, like, fall down?
I did,
like,
fall
into
down.
Into a hole or something?
Yeah, there was some falling going on. And then, yeah, I realized I was watching it and I was editing it. I was like, oh, man, I'm not wearing my sunglasses. This is trash.
Yes.
Throw it in the bin.
I can't, like...
Maybe I could do it. Maybe I can add, like, a filter. Like, an Instagram filter where I'm wearing sunglasses.
Just edit.
Yeah, edit on some sunglasses. All right. So, we're done talking about the original Blair Witch Project. We're going to take our first song break. We got the Token Junkies with their tune 30 Pieces of Gold. My dude Jake sent this my way. We had some trouble getting the file to work for a little while, and we finally got, he got me one that I could load up into this bitch and into your ears. So we're going to play it. Very excited. It was a good song. It is a good song, and I heard it, and I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I want to play this song, and then it wouldn't work. I was like, hey, dude, gotta give me a song that works. And he's like, oh, man, I don't know. Hold on a minute. Now we got the song that works. So here we fucking go, man.
And away we go.
And away we go. And when we get back, we will talk about the weird and perhaps unnecessary sequel. I don't know.
We'll talk about this when we get back.
Thanks for the tune, dude.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening so far. We'll be right back. going nuts in the box?
The cat.
The cat? Oh. So while we're away, I looked up some Google reviews for fellatios, and they weren't great, Vic. I gotta say, you gotta straighten up your game, bud. One just said, I gagged. So, what? Are you amused? Then one said, I watched my mother choke while enjoying fellatios. That just sounds traumatizing.
You right now have a look on your face like a little boy at Christmas. You are so proud and pleased with yourself.
How far I can, how much can I beat this joke? It's not a joke. This is a sponsored ad. Fellatio's Pizzeria out of New Bedford. Connecticut. Seemed like a good place for...
Let's just pull that out of nowhere.
Yeah, just say Fellatio's Pizzeria in New Bedford, Connecticut. It's real. I'm pretty sure it's real.
I don't want to look it up. I don't want to know.
And, I mean, this one was kind of a positive review. It said, I always need a good nap after fellatios. So, yeah. And then the one for the Cunning Linguist Cafe said, really quaint place, but certain stench about it.
I'm not giving you that one. You don't even get my entertainment.
You're entertained.
Are you not entertained?
I'm not. Okay. Well, you know, all sponsored ads. Vic is paying our electric bill this month. All right.
At least somebody
with his gift certificates that he gave us. I sold the gift certificates online. So don't worry. The lights will be on. Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2, came out in 2000. The year 2000.
So long ago.
That was a while ago. Y2K!
The year everybody thought everything was gonna blow up.
No, we had to wait 20 years later for that to fucking happen.
Yeah, they were way off.
So yeah, this was just a little over a year after the original. Cash grab.
Yeah, that's right. That's...
Gash cab.
Really close.
In the cash grab. We make the movie suck.
I think you need to, like, have a remix.
Oh, shit. Gash cab reboot. The cash grab. The above a name cash grab. Holy shit. This
the
is
a game
all...
show I never want to see.
Me driving people around asking them questions about gash. So who was known as the father of modern gynecology? I don't remember.
He was a creep. That's all yeah. I remember.
Hey, man, you know what we're doing here, though? We're making edutainment.
Is it?
I think...
Is there any edu in here?
Yeah, because people have told me that they at least heard about stuff they'd never heard about.
Well, that's good.
I don't know if they learned anything.
I don't care if they learn anything.
I think Paul Saint-Esprit. A lot of people liked that one. Paul Saint-Esprit.
You did a good job. All right, let's stick to the task at hand.
Marijuana, ecstasy, heroin, and cocaine. All right. So, Blair Witch 2, starring Kim Director, Erica Lurshine, Jeffrey Donovan, Stephen Barker, Turner, Tristine Schuyler, written by Dick Bebe. I mean, I think that's his name.
I really do want to know, like, the correct
Dick Bebe. It was written by Dick Bebe.
Is it B-E-B-E?
B-E-E-B-E. So, Bebe. Dick Bebe.
Wait. B-E-E.
B-E.
B-E.
Bebe.
Be- yeah. I don't know.
It sounds like a... I think that's an alien's last name.
How would you say that?
My name is Dick Bebe.
Bebe.
Dick Bebe. And Joe Bellinger. Directed by Joe Bellinger as well. In a clear attempt to cash in on the success of the original, Artisan Entertainment, the studio that had purchased the rights to the original, immediately started production on a sequel. The creators of the Blair Witch Project opted not to be a part of this, so as they wanted to work on some other things. Yeah.
Also,
they had just made millions of dollars, and they were like broke, like fucking independent filmmakers a year earlier.
So. Writing this movie, I feel like the first question or the first, like, command was make a movie for Hot Topic kids.
I had several Hot Topic references in my notes.
Like, that is what it was like. What can we like bring in the Hot Topic kids?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it reminded me a lot of The Rage Carrie too.
Yeah.
It's like the same era. Like, it was just like,
it does have that like
rehash. Like, well, this wasn't necessarily a rehash as the Carrie thing was, but like, cash in on an original thing, but it's got nothing of the tone of the original.
Yeah.
And it's just full of, like, a bunch of mall metal shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All right. Okay. But, yeah, so the original creators, you know, they didn't want to be a part of the sequel, so they, the studio handed off the project to Joe Bellinger. He went through several scripts and ended up co-writing his own along with Dick Bebe there. Oh man, he went through he went through several scripts and ended up co-writing his own.
Would it be
I just said the same thing twice. He decided to ditch the found footage format, or at least to use it sparingly, and roll with a more traditional horror movie feel.
Yeah, but isn't it supposed to be a reenactment?
Yes. So,
which again, that gets so lost.
This movie is very fucky.
The water, like, is very muddy.
It's a bit murky for sure. So I looked into the making of this movie a little bit, and it, from the sounds of it, it could have been a really good movie, or maybe not really good, but decent, better than it ended up, because it was made with the intention of being simpler. Kind of like the original,
yeah,
but in the more horror movie fashion, not necessarily just found footage. But the studio fucked it all up. They ordered reshoots, had kind of like the unnecessary random gore scenes in the middle that altered the storyline. And they also recut the movie so that like scenes that should have been at the end were put into the like middle. And it just doesn't flow. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't seem like a reasonable
whatever. It's really choppy. And I mean, I understand kind of like the premise of it is that your like brain's supposed to be messed with.
Yeah, the whole
and you're not...
series is pretty like disoriented.
Well, yeah,
you know?
This one specifically because they talk about like group hysteria and like all that. Like, do these things really happen? Is it just like people linking into the same like delusion and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So you're supposed to feel that, like, you're supposed to be, like, is this real, is this not real? But it just, like, it's these ideas that are good, and you can make a movie, like, you can make what it could have been very easily.
Yeah.
But it just, like, gets lost. Like, it's not, it's hard to know that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
When you watch it, you're kind of just like, this is just a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And after the director's cut was turned in and the studio started making all these changes, they also demanded on, like, a, like, 1999, 2000, like, new metal soundtrack.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Which really doesn't help. But one gem you get out of this is the, what was that, the band? Stonehenge fucking Turds? What are they? Why can't I think of the name of the band with this song?
I like letting you just kind of like flop around like a fish out of water.
The Stone Finger Dolphins. Finger Dolphins. The Dolphin Fingerers.
There's nothing about dolphins.
There's stones.
There is stones.
The Kings in the Stonehenge. Queens of the Stone Age. I actually like this band. This song kind of sucks. The music in it's cool though. But it's a song.
Well, and it was kind of written to be like.
Yeah, it's like a joke, yeah. But the song's just the only words are nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol.
I was just reading.
Cocaine!
I was just reading that Walmart didn't want to sell this album because of that song. And the album's called Rated R.
Yeah, the title of the album is Rated R, and it's got a big, like, the rated R logo.
And they
on
said
the cover.
Like, oh, you have to either take the song out or slap like the sticker on it, and they actually won the like battle because they were like the album kind of the name of the album speaks for itself.
Yeah, it's rated R.
Like if you're an idiot to buy this thinking that you're not gonna get like you know, like you should
marijuana,
know what you're getting.
Ecstasy and alcohol. Cocaine. Where were we? So, you know, it opened up and it was a mild financial success, but many fans and critics alike voiced dissatisfaction.
I just saw an article recently that said that people have really been trying to demand the, like
the director's cut.
Yeah, what it was supposed to be.
I would like to see it, because this isn't terrible. Going back and rewatching it, it was like, okay, you know?
It's a little cringy.
Oh, it's not, more than a little.
But
the music is a big part of what makes it fucking cringy.
Well, and it's, like, it's one of those things, it's like when you look back at, like, what you wore in middle school, and you're kind of like a little like, ooh, I can't believe I looked like that, but you loved it at the time, or like you thought it was cool or it fit in or whatever.
Yeah.
It's this movie kind of is like that. Like in its time, it made sense, but when you watch it now, you cringe a little and you're like a little embarrassed. But it has so much potential, and that's like my issue with it.
Yeah.
It's like, I enjoy it for the fact that, like, it has so much potential to be really cool. It's just too, like, it's just too muddy.
Too all over the place.
It's too all over the place.
It's
too cheesy.
Let's break it down a little bit here. So, Blair Witch hysteria has swept the nation and Burkittsville in particular. One local, Jeff, is running Blair Witch tours out to the woods to see spots featured in the movie. Because at this point, in this, version here, the movie Blair Witch Project had come out.
And now this is, the cult following
of it. Yeah, there's, a following of it. And even in this world, there's, speculation of was it real or was it not? And is it based on something real? Like, even if it's a fake movie, is there a true legend behind it? So the whole town is kind of overrun with fans of the movie going to check it out. In the group on his maiden voyage of this kind of little side business he's got going are a goth chick, a Wiccan chick, an uptight dude, and a sort of uptight chick. They end up getting wasted.
The couple,
they're like sort of uptight. The dude's a little more douche-ish.
And they both have differing views where she believes it's real and he believes that it's group delusion.
Group delusion. They end up getting fucking shitty wasted on their first night out there. And just, they black out. They awake to their gear all destroyed. I like the scene with all the books shredded,
yeah,
all the
cool.
paper
like
shredded.
It's snowing.
Yeah, it's like snowing shredded paper. It's pretty cool. So, and then, you know, this is all happening. It's crazy. And then our girl over there has a miscarriage in the corner of the cellar hole. Out of nowhere. This is all of a sudden, girl, lady's having a miscarriage.
Drinking her face off.
Yeah, you shouldn't drink. Shouldn't drink your face off and smoke all the doobies when you're pregnant, lady.
Yeah.
Jeez Louises.
And then you forgot to mention before, she has that weird dream.
Oh.
She's, like, in the water, and she, like, there's just, like, a baby foot.
Oh, yeah, a little baby foot in the water. Ooh. So then they bring her to the hospital. They decide for some reason to leave the hospital and go to the weird dude Jeff's house, who's, like, running the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But once there, they start to review some of the footage that was filmed the night that they all blacked out. And there's some cool stuff of them all partying naked and shit. And marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol.
Some witchy stuff.
Nicotine, Valium, Nicodin, ecstasy, and alcohol.
Nicodin?
It's a new sneaker drug. It's crazy. The kids paying a lot for those. So there's a lot of pretty trippy and bizarre shit that goes down at Jeff's house. Like, it's very convoluted. There's just so much. It's just kind of like, all right. When what her name is that she's doing the crazy prayer.
Yeah.
Fucking bending all over, yelling. And
calling out to Persephone.
Persephone, yeah.
For protection.
Oh, yes. So it's just really wild. And then what happens at the end? I don't even remember.
Well, they find the, like, Wiccan dead in the closet.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out who did it, because they're like, oh, you're the last person that's there. Oh, you're this, you're that. They're stuck in the place.
In Jeff's crib?
cat's messing things up right now.
Quit knocking stuff off the table, cat.
And then...
Well, sick dick baby on you.
And then they find out, like, the girl who had the miscarriage is, like, I don't know. She's either, like, possessed by the witch. I think she's possessed, right? Or controlled by the witch. She, this whole time, she'd been having all these dreams about, like, the lady, the rumored, like, the woman who was the witch and all the things that happened to her and why she hates children so much and all these, like, weird things. And then they, like, she taunts her husband. She puts a rope around her neck and he ends up pushing her.
Oh, yeah. And, that's good then, times.
But then they're getting, like, interrogated.
Yeah, those were scenes that were supposed to be at the end of the movie because they mix in all these interrogation scenes of them.
Yeah, like,
which makes you know that they did something bad.
Yeah, and you, like, know who lives.
Yeah, you know who lives because there's, like, afterward scenes.
Yeah, so. And they're like, oh, there's footage. There's footage. Watch it. And then it just, like, isn't what they saw.
Yeah.
And it's all like, you don't know, like, what's the real stuff.
You really
like,
don't what's know what's the... going on. It's very just, there's a lot going on. You have to just go watch it.
They killed that other group, remember?
They killed the other group. Yes, there was another group that comes out into the woods on their first night, on the night where they black out.
It's really hard to, like,
and so,
do this.
But that whole side thing, that's what the studio added, was that they killed that other group.
That's, like, the extra.
Yeah, so, and, like, they just didn't really even know how to work it into the movie because it fucking made no sense.
No, it's, yeah, it's very...
It was basically the studio got it back, the original cut, and they felt it wasn't gory enough, and so they just, they were like, we don't really care what you do, just add fucking gore.
This is where the term unnecessary gore actually belongs, not in... real horror films that are supposed to be, but, like, this is legitimately unnecessary gore.
It just has no point to the story. Yeah. I mean, it looks cool, but it doesn't need to be there. You know?
No, yeah.
Like, you're like, yeah, I mean, I'll always watch people getting carved up. Like, I'm here for this, you know? But, like, whatever.
Just adding too much to something that already has too much.
Yeah, man.
Like, the cake doesn't have to have 43 layers.
It really doesn't.
Have just a few.
Just a few layers.
Be fine. Everyone will be happy.
All right. So I think that wraps up our conversation on Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. Anything else you would like to add?
I had a friend that was really into this movie.
Did she wear fishnets?
She shirts, like wanted,
fishnet shirts.
She like really wanted to be the goth girl and she just wasn't. So it was just like, it just didn't feel right.
Yo, speaking of fishnets and like, yo, I'm not here to hate.
I used to wear fishnet shirts, so don't even get up on it.
I'm not. But I'm, you know, I'm just saying right now, like... Everyone had their style back in the day. I did some things with my hair that were questionable, you know? I probably wore, like, pajama pants as a fucking dress once. I don't know what I did. But my man Tyler, who suggested this next song, used to wear fishnet shirts sometimes, all right? There you go. It's a little information for all you listening. My man liked to wear the fishnet.
You're just exposing your friends.
He has a cold chamber shirt, man. What? I'll post some embarrassing pictures of myself.
I think you should.
What? Just find any picture
See,
of
the
me.
The thing about you is that you just don't get embarrassed. Yeah, you just don't care. Like, there's nothing embarrassing to you because you just rock your life however you want.
However,
you like whatever. You don't like it, too bad.
Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. So we're going to do a throwback track like we like to do from time to time. We're throwing it back to 2009. With the Red Chord, Hour of Rats, from their album, the last album they put out back then, fucking, what was that? It was 10 years ago? 12 years ago? Guys, come on, guys. We love you. Bring it back. You won't, that's fine. But,
everyone's gotta move on.
Yeah, we're moving on. But, honestly, out of, like, all the bands that aren't around anymore, this is the one you just see, like, comments thrown out of, like, left field. There'll be, like, articles that have nothing to do with this band, and people just comment, I miss the Red Chord.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
It's just everywhere. I miss the Red Chord. It's, like, a thing in this metal community, the more underground, whatever, wild-ass metal people. So, anyway, everyone misses the Red Chord. And I reached out to Guy. He said it was cool to play one of their songs. Had a nice little chat with him for a minute there.
Got the cute little text being like, you're like fangirling.
Listen, I could sit here and fangirl about the Red Chord for hours. I think a lot of people listening could.
It was very cute. And I loved it.
Oh, yes. But I couldn't decide what goddamn Red Chord song to play. So I reached out to my boy Tyler. I was like, yo, when you're not busy wearing fishnets, let me know what Red Chord song you would like me to play. Because I can't decide. And he got right back to me, and he was like, hey, fuck you about the fishnet, and play Hour of Rats. So here we are. Hour of Rats, The Red Chord. Go listen to them. If you don't know about The Red Chord, go listen to The Red Chord.
All of Learn it. About it.
All of it. Learn about it. I hope I get to see them at least once more. Seen them a lot of times, but I want one more. Red Rum. I don't know why I'm Red Rum. Red Chord, Red Chord. Bye, we'll be back. Talk about Blair Witch. The other one. The movie from another booby. Guys, we're going to have to postpone the end of the show because I just moshed my living room into oblivion. There's chunks of something bloody dripping on me. Might be my own foot. Anyway, thanks, Red Chord. Thank you so much for the tune. Really appreciate
it.
That's one of my favorite things about doing this podcast has been reaching out to all these different bands and
getting... You got really lucky.
I have. I've reached out to some who haven't gotten back to me or whatever, but, you know, that's fine. I never expect any of them to.
Yeah.
So when any of these bigger bands I hit up, like, get back to me, I'm like, holy fuck,
really
thanks
cool.
a lot. And, like, Red Chord, I got to say, is one of those bands that's always made time for their fans. And, like, I've had a lot of discussions with Guy at shows, and, you know, it's just fucking... They're a good band like that.
You got
to appreciate that. And they're writing kick-ass fucking tunes while they're at it, so, yeah. Man, I got, do you know, a little too much about Red Chord maybe, but some of my best times in my life were spent watching those guys play. That's me, like so many of my friends, all fucking going wild, getting up there, singing along, fucking moshing. Oh, I want to go to a show. Oh, no. Guys, you're hearing depression in action.
Hopefully.
It might be I could change the name of the podcast.
Depression in action.
Depression in action. I'm not really that depressed, guys, because I come up with jokes.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes. If you come up with jokes, you can't be depressed.
Yeah, you can't be depressed until all of a sudden you've offed yourself and people are like, but he was the funny guy.
Hey, enough about Robin Williams. I'm talking about Fellatio's Pizzeria. Thanks for the fucking lights. They're on as we speak, Vic. I appreciate it. My brother once had a landlord named Vic. My dad would call him the Evictor.
That is definitely a joke your dad would make.
Yeah, it also seems like that could be like an Adult Swim show. Yeah. The Evictor.
I'm surprised it hasn't been.
Hey, that's copyright Devolution Family Mind Media. Family. All right.
Mind Media.
Blair Witch 2016. Now, it was announced that... Now! There's no Dick Bebe, so maybe I won't laugh through half of this fucking segment.
Yeah, cannot. And then, whew. Also not to mention, when we watched that movie and that came up, you were like, woo! I struck gold!
I forgot. I just had it in my notes and I was reading and I read it and I was like, what, that's that guy's name?
So you got to relive that moment of joy twice?
That was great, yeah.
Or you got to live that moment of joy twice?
There's a lot of moments of joy. Oh, yeah. Because I make jokes. It was announced at Comic-Con 2016 that a film that had been in the works under the title The Woods, that had recently wrapped up production, was in fact a secret Blair Witch film. Whoa! I was on the pooper when I learned this. I remember specifically...
You remember exactly when?
Yeah, because I remember charging out of the bathroom and be like, yo, there's a new Blair Witch movie coming out, and it's coming out on my birthday! Because it was released on viewed at Comic-Con that day.
Yeah.
And there was flyers all up for The Woods, the fake movie, everywhere, and people went in to watch it, and they watched Blair Witch. And they're like, holy shit, this is a Blair Witch sequel. And then when they came out, all the like posters and everything had been changed Blair Witch like stuff.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So they once again used that cool kind of production like they kind of did at Sundance.
They mess with people a little and in the spirit of things.
That's right. So it premiered at at Comic-Con, and then it... came out on September 16th, 2016. I did not see it in theaters.
No, we watched it in the comfort of our living room.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful times. Because I make jokes. Actually, it was a lot of fun. No jokes. All joking aside. This one stars James Allen McCoon, Kaylee Hernandez, Brandon Scott, Corbin Reed, Valerie Curry, and Wes Robinson, directed by Simon Barrett, and written by Simon Barrett, directed by Adam Wingard. And I think it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I enjoy it. You know, as a fan of the original, and, you know, I only watched the second one once up until, I think we rewatched it maybe a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then we rewatched it to do this. But so I've only seen it 3 times, but the original one I've seen a lot of times. Yeah. And then this one I've seen a good amount of times since it's only been out for a few years.
This one, it definitely connects better to the first one. Like, you could cut out the second one completely and not even miss it.
True.
If you just had those two as, like, a...
Yeah.
Because it does, like, it's like a continuation of, in a sense.
Yes. After a few different attempts to revive the series at the studio, they had some different ideas floating around and whatnot. They just always kind of fell flat, didn't ever pan out, until 2013 when production began on this. This time around, the series returned to the found footage genre, and considering the market for the genre had fattened up by the Paranormal Activity series, and what else? There was a lot of found footage stuff coming out around the time. And also... the reboot culture, it just made sense for a Blair Witch movie to come out.
And I'm glad they didn't, remake it, that they just did,
it was just a sequel.
You know,
I mean, it was kind of, when it came out, it was a little shady on the details. It was just called Blair Witch, and the trailer didn't give away any information. So a lot of people didn't know. They're like, is this a remake, a reboot, what is this? And it's just a sequel to the original, straight up sequel, which is good, which has always bothered me with the reboot culture. I was like, why don't they just make sequels? You know what I mean? And I feel like they're starting to a bit more, but they're kind of doing the thing like this did, where they're cutting stuff out, like Halloween did.
Yeah.
Like Halloween skipped like fucking 9 movies.
Yeah, they're just like,
forget all that shit.
We're just going to shove those into the closet. Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. But I, you know, like I said, I came charging out of the pooper all excited, charging out of the pooper like a turd.
Oh my God. I hope that they don't come charging out of it.
Yeah, they whistle. There's a dude with a drum, a clarinet.
Okay.
The main character of this flick is James Donahue, the brother of Heather from the original. In 2014, he comes across a video online filmed in the woods of Maryland where his sister went missing 20 years earlier. Whew! In this footage, he finds, in the footage, he finds there is a woman that he is convinced is Heather. So, him and 3 friends, Lisa, Peter, and Ashley, pack up a bunch of camera gear and head out to explore.
There was something...
Which seems ill-advised.
Yes.
But they do it. There was
something I noticed about that I didn't notice the first time I watched it.
Ooh, what's this?
How much should I give away?
I don't know. That's up to you. I'm trying not to spoil who dies necessarily and
we'll
stuff.
We'll talk about two things later.
Okay.
That doesn't spoil anything.
All right. We'll get back to that. So, yes, this one, I think, was it on the Devil's Rejects there series, Firefly. We kind of discussed the spoiler alert guidelines. Yeah. And this one falls right in it. Didn't we say 5 years?
Yeah, I said 5.
We're at 5 here. So
next year we can spoil
Next year we can spoil this. We're going to give you the gist of it. And I feel like a lot of people I talk to haven't watched this.
Yeah, so you don't want to give too much away.
Go check it out, man. It's good. And if you don't like the original, then you probably won't like this, because whatever. But if you like the original one, go check this out.
See, they got to watch it, because then I can discuss my one beef with it. Which I will not, because it does give away too much.
Ooh.
And we didn't talk about this yet, so.
Okay. A weird-ass local couple, Lane and Talia, they tag up with James and his cronies
and
there.
And they're weird.
They're a little weird, yeah. Weird-ass. I'm using ass as, like, you know, as a descriptive a lot in this episode. Weird-ass.
You're really going with it.
Yeah, ass. I don't want to, you know, spoil too much, like we just said.
How about they go into the woods.
They go into the woods.
Very much to the traditional sense, but...
But
there's way more, like, trippy mind stuff
going
on.
Yes, so you get a lot more angles because there's the newer technology.
Yeah,
so they have
a drone. It's like the updated.
Yeah, they have a drone with them. They're all wearing cameras, like, on the side of their heads, mm-hmm. which a part of this that bothers me is the girls have long hair. And
it
when
never is in
the angles that show their faces, the hair is definitely over the camera, but then when it shows their camera angles, they're crystal clear.
It would have been cool if they had, like, legitimately filmed.
Yeah, because it was scripted. It was not like how the original was improvised.
But so you'd see their like hair and their
But you know, Hollywood.
But whatever.
You know
what I mean? They're doing the like they were shining it up.
Oh,
they're
making
it. That's what happens.
So you get more angles. The movie plays into the disorientation angle a lot more that was like dabbled with in the previous films, and it feels confusing and chaotic at times.
Yeah.
And at a point, the group lose all concept of time, and I really like dig this twist.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool.
It is really cool.
You know, they've.
Well, it just feels like time is a pond.
Yeah.
Not like a singular line. It's just like
Ooh.
This murky pond that all. Like, everybody's existing on different timelines, and watch it. You'll understand.
You'll understand. So, obviously, some people don't make it along the way. The conclusion brings us to the house from the end of the original. In the house, there is a scene that makes me extremely uncomfortable every time I watch it. It's, you know, a little spoiler alert here, so if you want to skip ahead, maybe, if you haven't seen it yet. But one of the characters gets... in a situation where she has to burrow her way out, kind of through the tiniest
tunnel.
And it's a very claustrophobic feeling.
She gets stuck,
and she's, like, trying to breathe, and she can't.
Yeah, and she's all, like, stressed out and frantic and scared.
Yeah.
So you're, like, the whole time, you're just like, I hate this.
Yeah, and it's, like, nice long shots of her, like, panicking.
Yeah, and it's, like, it is a long time of enough to make you, like, feel very uncomfortable.
Yes.
And think, like, is she going to get out of this tunnel? Like, so, you know, you don't know.
You don't know. And again, you're left with an ending that's open for interpretation, yes, as with the original and the second. Yeah. All of them, you're left going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Did I just watch?
What happened?
What happens? What happens next? I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
All in all, I really enjoy this movie. And the addition of the special effects, slightly overdone.
That's one of my beefs that I...
Yeah.
That I... All of it's great until the, like, the very end.
Yeah.
Bothers me a lot because it doesn't fit in.
No, it fits... It feels out of place because there's more special effects. There's stuff like, we'll say... a scene where a tent, like, flies up in the air. That's really fucking cool.
Yeah, it's
because
really
that just
cool.
Looks like something wild that would happen kind of in this situation. Like, yeah, during a haunted woods, you know? But it, like, looks just real-ish, you know what I mean? But then they... Yeah, at the end, there's some kind of little whack shit going on.
Yeah, and it's a little cheesy. It gets, like, a little... But the movie's good enough that you can, like, kind of let it go. But it is... It does... The very end almost feels like almost a different movie.
Yeah, it really does.
And you're like a little disappointed in that, but overall
it's really good. And that's it about that one.
Yeah.
That wraps up our conversation on the Blair Witch trilogy. Hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't watched the movies, go watch them. Let us know what you think. If you have watched the movies, fucking let us know what you think anyway.
Yeah, do you agree with us? Do you disagree
with us? Do you agree with us? I know, like, we leave out a lot of stuff when we do these, because if we really broke down, like, every scene and did a full, like, walkthrough of the movies, these episodes would be very long.
I could talk. I'm a talker.
Yeah.
About the things that I'm interested in. I could talk for, like, ever.
Yeah.
But I have to, like... I bring myself down.
Yes. And so, we try to just run through the bullet points, you know. Yeah.
We're also very chaotic.
We're very chaotic.
Get ourselves, like, in line.
But we're going to wrap this one up. And we got some plugs like we usually do. Check me out on Instagram and Facebook. We just hit 800 followers on Instagram right before we recorded this episode. Woo-hoo! So, thank you, everybody. Follow Sean Winter's podcast, Kate vs. Kate. All three of us are part of the Square Hamburgers podcast network. Check out Punky's Mixtape on Twitch. It's cool, you know, gaming-related stuff, comic stuff, movie stuff. I do some videos over there sometimes, movie reviews and countdown lists and shit like that. And he's over there. He's streaming a bunch of nights a week. So go check out Punky's Mixtape on Twitch. Check out the Devolution podcast tunes playlist. Most of the songs I've ever played on the show here are added on that, and it's really long. It's like a 4.5-hour playlist
at
this point.
There's a little something for everyone.
There really is, a whole bunch of stuff. I want to shout out our listener of the week this week is Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for listening, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining.
That was the same guy? Holy shit.
I think so.
Hey, Rick, you ever been to Felatio's Pizzeria in New Bedford? Because, I mean, we should go check it out.
Oh, should you?
You can come. You can go check out the Cunning Linguist Cafe.
Like third wheeling.
No, you go over to the Cunning Linguist Cafe.
No, get okay, yourself thank you. You enjoy. You have fun.
A lickety latte. Anyway, so this is our last song for the episode. This one's for you, Wavy.
Yes. Enjoy, Wavy.
Yeah.
We've been very excited about this.
Yeah, yeah. Our friend, our family member, Wavy.
My bonus dad.
Clarissa's bonus dad, Wavy Davy. He listens a lot. And I know the music we're playing isn't for you, man. So, you know, I reached out to one of your buddies, Ryan Montblou.
Work some little magic.
Yeah, man. And he gave us the thumbs up on playing a song. I told him it was specifically for you, and he was like, hell yeah. So, thanks, Ryan, for giving us and letting us play the tune over here. This is from his new EP, Wood. The song is Outside Looking In. The new EP, Wood, is out on all streaming platforms. Go check it out.
I really do like this song. It's
a really good song. It's really a good EP. And remember when we saw this dude play down at the tavern over there? Not the tavern, the brewery.
Yeah. That was fun.
My man packed the house down there.
And it was for a good cause.
It was for a really good cause. It was a good night. It was a sad, happy kind of night. Yeah, it was a good time.
Really, it was like there was some bittersweet moments between.
Yeah. Aww. Anyway, we're out of here. Honestly, thank everyone for listening. Really means a lot. Thanks to all the bands. Thanks to Token Junkies, Red Chord, Ryan Montblu. There's a fucking lineup for you. Told you we had good music in the beginning of the episode. Yeah. I said something about good music, I think.
And I like there's so much, like, variation.
Oh, yeah. We got really cool. A little fucking everything over here. Thanks, everybody. You know? And if you play music, feel free to send it my way. I'll get your song in the queue and get you on an episode eventually. I got a whole bunch of songs. They're coming. If you sent me a song and you're waiting for me to play it,
be patient.
I will play it. It's coming out. I've only skipped, like, two.
We won't ever say who.
We'll never say who. Maybe it was your band. We're out of here. Thank you all for listening. Once again, Ryan Montblu, Outside Looking In, from his new EP, Wood. We're out.
Bye.
Bye.
Mother Nature sat down at the table that I had built with my hands. Her fingers folded and listening to how I use the land. And when my voice finally faded, she called upon the rains and the wind. And I felt her prayer from the outside looking in. Audubon had a baby, gave the birth later in life. Never would have had her as a maybe, nor as an unwed wife. And when that golden child was born, perfect and free from sin, I sent my congratulations, love from the outside looking in. Danger, danger, call the fire ranger, the wind up low, and we need some help down here. Good intentions, but reckless and careless, looking to the outside and stop looking in. Little girl in the garden, dancing, and it seems like she knows that she alone makes the sun rise, makes the flowers grow. And she'll make many more like me, and they'll build a home for their king. And we'll all stand here in reverence, smiling from the outside looking in. Makes a meal out of mankind, makes it dry where it rains. Man makes his buildings holy, turns his God into games. Man looks down at his sisters, sharing a silent secret, wondering why he's on the outside looking in. Danger, danger, beat up the strangers, fortify the walls and win. Point the finger at anyone, anywhere we have not been. Heaven waits for the weary, heaven waits for the kind. Heaven waits for the sinners, heaven shows up on time. If heaven is what you make it, and that's what this is all about, heaven's there on the inside looking out. Heaven's here on the inside